Now, on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello to you. Another week, another show. And I am so excited to talk to you today because outside here, we have been blessed in Belgium with beautiful weather these last weeks. And it is such a difference to have an outside life, to be able to have a little drink, sit down at a little terrace and enjoy company, enjoy even your own company, whatever. But the outdoor life is totally different from the winter, where I love seasons, don't get me wrong, but it is so nice to have these long days, to be able to do a beautiful walk outside late in the evening around 9 o'clock, see the sunset. I just love it. And today I'm talking to an Italian lady, Roberta Mussato, and I love Italy. I mean, Italy is one of these countries where you can enjoy that outside life, have beautiful food, beautiful sceneries, buildings, cities. But I believe Roberta Mussato has moved to the UK a long time ago. And we are going to talk with her about her book, Universe, I Trust You, which is available on Amazon, of course. But Roberta is a life coach, an NLP practitioner. She's an award-winning author, so she will talk about that, I'm sure, about what the book is actually doing at the moment, because I believe it was first written in Italian and then in English. But it's all about true story of her solo backpacking adventure that she did and how it changed her life. And today she switched careers and she helps awakening souls get unstuck and move forward towards a more aligned and fulfilling life. And yeah, I am sure that we're going to talk about a lot of these things, how to get unstuck, how to get out of fear. And she loves coaching. So I'm sure we'll talk about all these things just after this little break. I can't wait to share this conversation with you. And just go and have a cup of tea, grab a glass of wine or a good glass of water, and come back to me just now after this break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, and here we are talking to Roberta Mussato. Welcome, Roberta.
Thank you, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
I love your accent, Italian accent, and I love accents. I really, really always am curious about where people come from and how they, you know, how they're doing in life. So tell me a little bit about how your journey from your past or when you were younger, your childhood, whatever it is, to where you are today. What journey did you do up until today?
Oh, that's a long one. Also, I love the word journey. So I was born in Italy, in Treviso, mm-hmm. near Venice. And I've always felt a citizen of the world, really. I've always loved languages. And when I saw London, I came to London in 98 because my brother was living here for 7 years. I fell in love with it.
And wow.
And I fell in love with speaking English on a daily basis. I think it's such a beautiful language. And so when I was unhappy in Italy with the work situation, with the narrow-minded mentality that there is, you know, I come from a little village and even my hometown is quite small. And I've never really felt suitable for that. Mm. You know, it was just too small for me. And so I moved to London in 2006 after a graduation in conference interpreting in English and Russian.
Wow. And
so, yeah.
So you are a multi-language kind of person anyway.
Yes, yes. I've always loved communication. So I also speak French, studied German for 3 years, And when I was in London, I also studied sign language and Hindi, but only only for 1 year, just out of interest, out of personal interest. So I started as a linguist here. I became a freelancer and I was working as an interpreter, subtitler, and voiceover artist. And I actually like these jobs because variety has always been one of my, really one of my values, one of the things that I are so important for me. Mm-hmm. But back in 2017, 18, even 16, to be honest, I started thinking that I was called to do something else. Mm-hmm. Like I've always wanted to help. I've always been one.
Help others. Mm.
Yes, you know, like the rescuer. And so I felt that I wanted to do something else, but I wasn't able to pinpoint exactly what. And that's when my life really changed. I would say that 2018 was for me a watershed. Mm-hmm. Because following a big crisis, I embarked on a 3-month solo trip that changed my life. And it's also one of the reasons why we are here today, I would say.
But can you tell me what the crisis was? Because anyone out there will recognize themselves. People, we are in living in such uncertain times, in such, you know, it is a crisis, small crisis, big crisis, it's all there. So can you tell a little bit about the crisis?
Yeah. So I call it an emotional wreckage that I was in. And it was really on all fronts. First of all, so I had been single for 8 years. Okay. And in a city, so that's already like really painful. And it was one dating disaster after another. And, you know, I live in London, which is a city where you can feel quite lonely. It's big and you get your friendships and then they go back to their own country. So it's also a city where people are really, it's a passage for so many people. And so I was already feeling lonely on the friends side and I didn't feel particularly understood by many of them. Plus 8 years of being single, one dating disaster after another. All these in my mid-30s. And I've always wanted to have a family. I've always seen myself a mother with 3 children. And so it took me a lot of courage to embark on a fertility solo journey that I tried abroad and which unfortunately wasn't successful. Okay. So you can imagine as a woman the pain that comes with that. Moreover, I was doing all of this without my family knowing because they just had different views. So I wasn't feeling supported by my family and not particularly understood by my friends who had their life. I had one best friend and I had noticed something going on with his health. And it took a few months to discover that it was not it was a health issue in the sense that it was connected to an addiction that he had kept completely hidden. So for 2 years, I tried to help him with his alcoholism. Mm-hmm. And I really drained myself. As I said before, I'm the rescuer and I was just trying to help in whatever ways. So
sacrificing yourself.
Exactly. Mm. And also, you know, one of my biggest values is honesty and truth. And he obliged me to so many disaligned behaviors because he wanted to keep it hidden. And so I had to come up with so many excuses in front of the other friends in social circumstances who would notice that there was something wrong. And I just had to make up excuses over excuses. So I felt really taken away from my soul's path.
Yes.
That would have been, you know, let's face the problem with honesty. Let's say that there is this issue. So there was that. And as I said, also the feeling that I was called to do something else, but I could just not understand what. I had done like a 30 hours course introduction to counseling because I thought that could be my next move as I've always been interested in psychology. But when I did that course, I have a very big empathy. I think maybe that's also part of being Italian, like I cry so easily and maybe, you know, I came to the conclusion that A, it was probably not that professional to be crying with my clients. And B, I also didn't want to be in that space, in that energy of problems.
Yes.
Right. And so that's how I was feeling. I was feeling really stuck like not moving in my love life, not moving forward in my work life, my social life as well. So yes, when I think back to those months, to those years, because it was actually 2 years, I just see confusion, stuckness, sadness, lots of sadness, sense of loss. Sense of loss for the idea of maybe I will never be a mother. And seeing how my friendship, my best friendship with my best friend was deteriorating because this addiction really,
it's destructive for everyone.
It's destructive. And there are so many feelings that get involved. You know, you go from feeling completely naive that you have never realized that was the problem to being shocked, to being angry, to then putting everything aside and thinking about his pain, but then wanting to smash his head against the wall when he goes through rehabs and then he still drinks, when for you it would be so easy, like just don't do it. And then you're like, okay, no, I'm a bad friend because I'm not there.
The guilt.
There was so much involved. Yes, the guilt, and then also the anger, because you know you are required to behave so differently from your own nature, and so
a lot of emotions, Roberta.
There was a lot of emotions. Yeah, as I said, I was really running. I say that my emotional batteries were constantly red.
Yeah. The trip, is that the turning point?
Yes. I mean, for me, traveling has always been a way to recharge my batteries. I've always loved traveling and it helps putting me things in perspective. And let's say that until then, it's been more a way to discover the world, knowing that something that I enjoy doing. But in this specific circumstance in 2018, it was really a way to breathe again, like put some space between me and all this grayness that I was seeing around. And, you know, like rationally, I knew that life is beautiful, that there is so much more, but I just couldn't feel it because I was too concentrated in sorting out all those problems. And so I'm like, you know what? I just need to spend time on my own and inject something new yes. people, new situations. And so I decided to, in fact, I decided to leave because I was inspired by a lady and her name is Maggie Doyne. I stumbled upon her on internet. Back then she was, I think, 31 years old and she was the adoptive mother of 53 Nepali orphans.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's an American lady who had gone on a gap year. And she had fallen in love with Nepal. She had decided to start paying for the education of one child that she had seen carrying 70 kilos of stones in her back, on her backpack. And, you know, she was, why people in this side of the world have such a hard life. So she decided to pay for the education of this girl. Then she decided to pay for the education of another girl. And soon she bought a piece of land for $5,000 and she had set up a school, which then became an orphanage. And in order for children to live there, she had to become their officially their adoptive mother. So when I read her story, I thought, wow, this is a woman who is going all in. Like,
that's her way to be a mother.
That's her way to be a mother, absolutely. And also the courage that she had to change her life and follow a call that she had. And I was like, I want to be able to feel my own call and I want to be able to have the courage to step into this. And so I need to go and talk with her. So this was the reason why I bought a ticket.
Which country was she in?
In Nepal.
Nepal.
Nepal, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the funny thing is that when afterwards I contacted her to say that I wanted to go and meet her and maybe work as a volunteer for 1 or 2 weeks, she was like, no, you can't do that. We do not accept people who stay less than a year because otherwise the children would be constantly be subjected to abandonment. Mm. Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And so that was the first lesson that I received, you know, thinking that not just because you want to give, people are there to receive. which is also a lesson that I learned the hard way with my best friend. You know, like I gave, I drained myself. But if the person is not ready to be helped, there's nothing you can do, really. Sure. And so I bought a ticket for 3 months, 1 month in Sri Lanka, 1 month in India, ending in Nepal. And I decided to make an experiment. I was reasoning, if all my pain comes from unmet expectations, I thought I was going this sort of life, married with 3 children to an amazing man with an incredible career. And reality was so different. Let me see how life can be when you have no expectations, no attachments. You just embrace life for how it comes. Mm-hmm. And so I decided for 3 months not to plan a single thing. I just bought the plane tickets, London to Colombo, 1 month later, Colombo to Chennai, 1 month later, Goa to Kathmandu, one month later, Kathmandu to London.
Wow.
Yeah. And I said, and I had booked the first night because I was landing in Colombo at 4 a.m. So it was better to have a hotel booked. And for the rest, I said, universe, I trust you. Like, make me meet the people that I need to meet.
Yes.
Put, like, really work, God, work through me. I'm game for whatever. I'm going to go with the flow. And I discovered that when you go with the flow, you go with the soul because you're just really aligning yourself. And following your intuition, you discover so much when you start listening to what you want to do and start noticing what happens around you, because there are always these signs that I started to see everywhere. And, you know, life almost became like a map. You have these signs and you start following them. So it was an incredible trip. And especially for me as a rescuer and a people pleaser, you know, always used to put other people's needs first. The fact that for 3 months, my question was, what do you want to do? And how are you going to give it to yourself today? That changed radically my attitude towards life. So that, you know, really moving the focus from others to yourself is a great way to move past.
Beautiful. That's what we call actually living authentic success. It's when you get into alignment with your true self and with your soul and with your purpose, with your mission, with who you are, then things change. Roberta, I'm just thinking, could you say that you stopped living from outside inward and started living from the inside out? Would that be an explanation?
I think that I was still living a lot from inside outward even before.
Okay.
But I was probably giving a lot of my energies away.
Yes.
Yeah. So for sure, I've started going more inwards.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say I've deepened the inward thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, you know, you're talking about authentic success. And I absolutely agree with you. It's when you align yourself. I really love the word alignment because I undertook that trip just as a way to feel better. And that was my priority. I was a freelancer back then. So going away for 3 months could have jeopardized all my clientele. But I felt that I had to take care of my moods, of my mental health, because I had really been sad for quite some time. And I had no idea that from that trip, so much would have come out. Mm. Because, you know, when I came home, I thought, people need to know what happens when you live in trust. When you really embrace things, thinking that it's the best way in which they can turn up. Mm. And because you live in trust, even though in the moment they don't seem ideal, you know that at some point you're going to understand why they had to happen in that way. You know, so it's really an attitude towards life that is A, empowering and adding so much lightness.
Mm, beautiful. So,
yeah.
Beautiful. So are you saying that, you know, your trip has actually, what has your trip actually done to you? Because you go from unstuck, sad, you know, confused. And so you come back and what? Were you unstuck? Can you say that you were unstuck?
Yes. Mm. Yes. So it gave me, well, first of all, it gave me a renewed love for life. Because you see amazing landscapes. I saw so many animals. Then it filled me with this sense of unity, that we are really all connected. Like,
oh, beautiful.
It's amazing. And, you know, like, we are so different, and yet the core is the same. You know, we all love in the same way. The love of a mother for her child is the same, whether we are Europeans or, yes, you know, a lady living in the street in Chennai. So rediscovering nature, having contact with nature, which is something that is always really powerful and soothing and calming. So there was all this, you know, having lived so much adventure, having seen how many resources I have, because traveling stretches you out of your comfort zone. So you find yourself in all these situations and you're like, how am I gonna behave? In Nepal, I also discovered meditation.
Yes.
I did a 10 days silent meditation Vipassana retreat. So, which for me was a mind-blowing experience. I had never meditated before. So it was a full-on experience.
Of course.
You know, you go to 12 hours a day without talking to people, without having eye contact. So it was really powerful. And on day 8, I had a vision. I can only call it a vision because my brain didn't have the knowledge to see that. When I was meditating with my eyes closed, I pictured a wall with written NLP as a graffiti. And I thought, National Liberation Party. Like, I didn't know what it meant. So I had to wait until day 10 when they gave me back my mobile to discover that it's neuro-linguistic
NLP,
program.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. And I thought, this is exactly what my next step should be, because I've always studied languages. I've always studied communication. I'm interested in psychology, and this basically joins everything.
Beautiful.
And so when I came back, I got informed about NLP courses, and I discovered that it could be a tool that you use within life coaching. And so that's how that trip also changed my career. So work-wise, I got unstuck because I entered into this world that I'm still fully swimming in, because it's really a lifelong journey. And the more you get into it, the more you want to learn.
Welcome.
Socially,
welcome to the journey.
And socially, as I said, I became less of a people pleaser. And also my attitude towards men changed a lot, because, you know, when I had left, I kept meeting these emotionally unavailable men with a Peter Pan syndrome who never wanted to commit and always kept me at a distance. And in 89 days that I'd been traveling, only 4 or 5, I was in a sort of a bad mood, let's say low mood, for things connected to men that I had met during the trip. And I'm like, 84 days, I had amazing days on my own. So why do I give my power away?
To men.
And so I came back and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to focus on my own life. And the energy that is coming out of this is going to be powerful. And because that's what happens when you align yourself. You really start oozing another.
It's vibe. Energy. It's all about energy.
Exactly. So I would say that on all fronts, how I related to men, and also, you know, all the pain for not being a mom. Mm-hmm. I thought, as you said, you know, this Maggie Doyne, you know, she found another way to be a mom. And by the way, now she became a mother herself.
Oh.
Yeah. And I really thought, you know, life is so much bigger. And there are so many ways in which children can come into your life.
Yes.
Like, now I've become an auntie, and so I've got a niece and a nephew.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, this is an amazing role. I would have never thought that being an aunt would give you so much joy. Mm. And I'm thinking, you know, there's adoption, there's fostering. I could meet a partner who has his own children. So
many ways to be.
So many ways, really. And so, yes, in general, those 3 months really helped me put everything into perspective and start afresh. Once I was back in London.
And so let's talk about your career as an NLP practitioner and a coach. So here you are today. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, so when I came back, I decided to write a book because I thought people need to know what happens when you live in trust. And also because, especially in Italy, when I said that I'd been traveling for 3 months backpacking on my own, there were always 5 questions that people would put me. Basically, like, weren't you afraid? Didn't you feel lonely? Didn't you get bored? Was it safe for a woman? How much did you spend? It was always these 5 questions. And I thought, people will never leave because, you know, they have all these fears.
Yes.
Because it's going to be expensive. It's going to be lonely. It's going to be boring. Mm. And let me tell them how such a trip can be. And so my book is actually the travel journal that I kept while I was moving around. And so I also wanted, in a way, it was my contribution to invite women to travel more on their own.
Yes.
And in general, not to be blocked by their fears. And so the book first came out in Italy in December 2020 because I wanted it to be my contribution to enlighten up the world atmosphere in the COVID year. I wanted people to travel with their mind and laugh because it's a very self-ironic book.
Mm.
And then it came out in English. I translated it myself, and that was a very interesting work on its own because the Italian sense of humor is so different from the English one. So there were many jokes that I had to tone down, edit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really, for me as a linguist, it was a very interesting process. So it came out in July, and I'm happy to say that it recently won second place at the Bookfest Awards. And incredibly, it's going to be projected on the Nasdaq billboard in Times Square on the 20th of June, which is something I can't believe yet. Like, it's beyond my imagination.
Mm.
And it's a further proof that once you align, just amazing things come out of it. So I wrote this book, and then I started studying as a life coach first at the coaching academy here in the UK. Because I thought, yes, I want to get to NLP, but first let me get the basics in life coaching. Then I became an NLP practitioner. And then, you know, you get into this world where you just want to study more. Also because at the beginning, there is a bit of the imposter syndrome.
Yes.
You know, you think, oh my God, people are going to trust me with helping them out of their stuckness or whatever situations they're in. So I need to study. The more I know, the better I will be.
Can I tell you something there? Because what you've lived in those 3 months to trust the universe during your travel, isn't it the same that trusting the universe that being an NLP practitioner and a life coach, you're going to get the clients that you're going to attract? You're going to get the people who, isn't that also a process of trust? That's how I experience it. I mean, I have a 30-year career in coaching and, you know, all these things. And I can only say that your book is so important for traveling, but it is so important in life to trust that if you are aligned and you do what you are meant to do, Roberta, that's where the trust lies to say it will come. What comes, comes. My client, every time I think, and it's maybe a tip for you, every time I think, I haven't had much this month, you know, intakes or something, new people coming. And I meditate on it and I say, look, I'm here to help. Send me whoever you want, you know, needs my help.
I love this.
I promise you, that's energy. That's trust. So I'm actually quite excited that you talk about trusting the universe and your trip. And that now also it's about the process of being a life coach and helping others and trusting that process also.
Yes, yes. And in fact, many of the readers became clients.
I'm sure of that. People recognize themselves in you, in your story. Yeah, beautiful.
Exactly, because it's a very relatable book, especially for women.
Yes.
And yeah, that was something that I wasn't expecting because when I wrote the book, I was just studying as a coach. It took me 2 years to write the book. You know, there were so many ups and downs. It's such a,
it's an adventure.
Project.
Hey?
Yes, yes. It is a journey on its own, just writing a book and then publishing it and promoting it.
Is that your baby, your book?
Absolutely. Mm. You know, like I exactly came up with this sentence when it was Mother's Day. And I thought, I never understood. Like, I've always seen a book as something solid, that once it's out, it's out. But now that I'm here, I'm like, oh my God, what a journey. Mm. Like, apart from I didn't know anybody who had written a book. So for me, it was one step after the other. So many mistakes. Like I published the book, the cover was wrong, then upload a new cover. Until today, I've uploaded 9 different covers.
Was it a stressful journey, your book? Did it bring you stress, or was it positive stress, like also excitement and discovery? And
I wouldn't say stress, I would say discouragement.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were some moments where, for example, my best friend didn't
challenging. Want
to book. Challenging. Mm. Yeah. And you know, you receive rejections from publishing houses. So I decided, okay, I'm gonna self-publish. Then I self-published, and the publishing house noticed the cover on Amazon, and they contacted me and offered me a contract. One more proof that when you just do your thing, you're lying, you follow.
Again.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. And so yes, definitely it's my baby, and it's been traveling so much, and I'm really excited to see what else is coming now after the New York thing, what it's gonna bring.
Beautiful. Lots of success wished for you, because that's, you know, after such a journey, you know, it's meant to be, let's say it like that. It's meant to be. So tell me a little bit about, why is it that you love coaching so much? Because there are so many coaches around. There is, you know, the profession is not protected. So, so tell me a little bit how, you know, why do you like it so much? What is your contribution in here?
Yeah. So, as part of my crisis before, I was also seeing a counselor. So I had been seeing a counselor for more than a year. And I had started for the breakup that I had had. And after 1 year, we had not even talked about the breakup, but I had become aware of so many more problems I was having. And I remember how many times I would come out of sessions with her crying. And thinking, oh my God, but there is always one more problem, you know, like the more you look at it, the more things you discover. So I was happy because I was working on it, but for me, it always came with this sense of overwhelm. Oh my God, there is so much more. When I went to there was a free weekend where they were presenting coaching as a potential career. It started at 9 o'clock, and by 9:30, I'm like, this is it. That's going to be my next job. Because what I loved is it's so practical. It looks at the future. It's solution focused. Yes, it gives you, you know, like counseling gives you awareness. At least that's been my experience. It gives you awareness, but it never really gave me transformation, or it was just a slow paced transformation. And coaching for me was put the right question. And I've always been, I think that's one of my superpowers, to put the right questions. I've always been the one challenging, you know, normal views of my friends.
Great.
I've always had a really wide look at things. I think that, you know, it comes also from my feeling citizen of the world and living in London. I feel so, especially when I go back to Italy, I feel that I have such a wider look on life, and having traveled so much also, you know, and speaking different languages. So you in general, I just feel that I can see things from a bigger perspective than many other people. And so, yes, for me, coaching was more, wow, from the very first session, you have some steps that you can implement to feel a bit better, to move a bit forward. And then last year, I qualified as a master life coach at Elementum Coaching Institute, which is an American institute.
Yes, I know.
You know it, yeah. So that brought everything to another level. And that's also where I discovered somatics. Because in England, I studied, you know, with the coaching academy, I studied more a very cognitive approach.
Yes.
And NLP is very cognitive, yes. You know, very visual.
Of course.
As you know. Yeah. And last year, I discovered how important the body is. For resolving all these trapped emotions that we have, all these stuck energies that we've been repressing for a lifetime. And it's funny because in a way, that's exactly what I realized in Nepal, sitting for 12 hours. I had this sadness coming out that was related to my grandfather dying in 1986. And I'm like, where is this sadness coming from? And the teacher was telling me, these are all your repressed emotions.
It's stuck in your body.
It's stuck in your body. For 10 days, you have been sitting still, not talking, not reading. So you have not introduced anything. And your body is taking out all the everything that you've been repressing. And for me, it sounded science fiction back then, but they explained me, it's the same, like if you don't eat, your body's going to take your fat reserve. And in the same way, it's like, your body's taking out all these energies that you've been repressing for ages. And for me, it was mind blowing, crying 2 days for grieving my grandfather who died when I was 8 years old.
Wow. Well, the mind-body connection is, and the body-mind connection, it's also related, it's such a beautiful science also behind it. It's not just woo-woo, it's not
Absolutely.
Just spiritual stuff. It's the energetic laws and it's also scientific.
Yes.
The time goes very quickly, Roberta. I just want to ask you a question, like two things. First, a first tip for anyone listening out there now, you, the listener, being stuck, is there one tip, a short tip, please, one tip of advice? And maybe you can combine it with the next question, which is there a statement, a quote that you live by that you could give to anyone who is listening now?
Perfect that you are putting these two questions
yeah.
together, because I had immediately one answer and then I thought, okay, but there is also this. So the quote and at the same time the tip is, choices have to be made out of love, not out of fear.
Hmm.
So whenever we stay in a situation out of scarcity, because we think that we're not going to get something better, or because we're afraid, or because we don't have certainties, but our soul would like something else, we are choosing for fear. And it's not the right reason.
True.
So I would say just use that as a moral compass. If you know that you're choosing out of fear, that's the wrong choice.
I think it's a great quote that you mentioned now in this society that we are, it's not just COVID is, let's say, past, but we are living in such uncertain times. There's so much fear in society, whether it's with the youngsters, with the adults, with the elder people. It is actually, so I love it. So fear is a destructive kind of thing. Also, it's like, I'm not saying it's like an addiction, but it's actually as dangerous as an addiction.
And one of the statistics that I studied that really struck me more is that 98% of fears never become true.
That's true.
And so
I also thought 96 and you say 98.
Okay.
So whatever it is, but it's interesting.
Interesting. And if you think how many people base their life out of this thing that is just in their mind and that 98% of the times, 97% of the times will never become true. It's incredible, right?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And two, I would say, really look for help. There is so much help out there. And I get kind of angry when there is still this stigma around professionals like therapists or coaches. I mean, if you have a problem with your heart, you go to a cardiologist. If you have a problem with your bones, you go to an osteopath.
True.
So why would a coach or a psychologist or a counselor be seen as different? It's just people who studied more, a part that, normal people, like we all have our own field of expertise. And so trust these people who studied more, who've been, especially living, because that's something that for me is very important, being in integrity. So trying first on myself and then give guidance. I'm never going to say things that I haven't tested on myself.
And so I love that. But, it's also because people still think it's a taboo still. People still think that asking for help is a weakness, Roberta.
Oh, my God.
But I want to finish with that. And what do you want to say
to that
listener who is now feeling that they are stuck, that they are confused, that they are, all the emotions that we mentioned in this conversation and that need help? What would you say to them?
That the real bravery is being able to ask for help and being vulnerable. I say it in the preface of my book, vulnerability is a superpower because I'm telling you all the things that hurt me, which means that if I'm talking openly about them, A, I'm not living in shame, because shame grows when we keep things in the dark, hidden. By talking openly, it's like, okay, this is it. And also we all go through moments. I wanted to talk so openly about my emotional wreckage, about my crisis, to make people see we all go through rough patches and it's normal.
Yes.
And
by giving the example, you permit others to do the same. And I'm going to end with that because it's an important thing that people realize that vulnerability, asking for help, it's the most beautiful step that you can take in your own life. So thank you, Roberta. I really appreciated this conversation. Good luck with your book. Good luck with the New York, whatever there. I can see it on the billboard already. I can imagine it.
Yes.
So it's all about energy. I'll come back to the audience just now after this little break. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And I have to admit that this was quite a long conversation. So I'm going to give you just a little short summary of what we've talked about. But I did enjoy Roberta. And I also enjoyed her accent. I mean, really, she is a beautiful lady who has gone on a special journey, going from someone who was sacrificing herself, and I see that every day in my practice, how people, highly sensitive people who sacrifice themselves, always helping others, save, trying to save them, actually, please them, etc., and then have a breakdown and a crisis, and then get out the other side in a totally different energy and often a second career like Roberta. Now, she talked about how important it is to really go travel, to discover, to breathe again. That was her way, and how she stopped every single expectations. Now, I know that a lot of our suffering has to do with our expectations. So once we stop those expectations and see how life can unfold by just being you, by following your soul, by going with the flow, that's often how what I call the journey from stress to authentic success. And so she realized in her journey that we are all connected. We are all connected with nature. We need to focus sometimes on ourselves, on our inner world, and not on our outside world. And I have to say that I really, really appreciated Roberta's two things at the end that she said. Now, those two things, of course, are important for you and for me in any way in daily life, because as she said, first of all, choices need to be made out of love, not fear. Choices need to be made out of love and not fear. Think about how you can apply this in your life, that your choices that you make need to be made out of love and not fear. That's for one. And the second one, which we often talk about in our show, but maybe that's what you need to hear today. If you feel that you are stuck, if something is not going the way you want it to go, go and look for help. Please do not see it as a weakness, as it is a strength. Your vulnerability is your superpower. So really, of course, you can't help somebody who doesn't want to be helped. I always say that, and I see it in my practice. But if you want to be helped, go for help. Go out of your comfort zone and do that first step. Even that on its own can change your life. So I'm not going to say more than this. I think it was a beautiful conversation, and you can go and download it or listen on demand or listen on the podcast. UK Health Radio is the best platform for anything that has to do with your health, with your well-being. So I'm going to say bye-bye for now, and I'll talk to you next week.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.